the 11th District Court came out with this ruling today, basically holding up and saying, hey, we're going to allow them to go ahead and vote as long as they can show that they're indigent and don't have any way of really paying back their restitution fees and fines, you know, right away. What does that mean for those people, but also for the other felons who are not directly impacted today?
Mm-hmm. My understanding of the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals ruling is that they basically took issue with this idea that what Florida was basically doing was creating two classes of returning citizens. Those who could afford to pay all of their civil fines and et cetera, and those who couldn't. And that that was essentially a violation of the U.S. Constitution. It's a violation of equal protection. And they struck it down. So I think it's a pretty significant victory. In terms of what does it mean for voters, I think that from what I have seen, I think unfortunately, because of what the governor and legislature have done, they've kind of left the 1.6 million voters who were so excited to have their rights potentially restored by Amendment 4, they've kind of left them in a state of limbo. It's really not clear that those folks are going to be able to vote in this election. They're sort of in a holding pattern.
And this all started from a constitutional amendment that voters approved and said that they believed people should have their right to vote back. It's being argued whether or not they had to pay the fees and fines first. And basically, they're saying if they can't pay them, then they don't have to, these 17 people. But it's for people that can pay them, I think that's the bigger decision or bigger question is, if they can pay them, how much do they need to pay, or do they need to be on a payment plan?
Mm-hmm.
When do you think that will all be cleared up? And do you think that that comes in the court case the big court case that is pending? Because all of this must eventually come back down to the legislature and courts here.
I think I've seen reference to what we're facing as an administrative nightmare in terms of like court systems throughout the state have slight variations. There's no one tracking necessarily information that returning citizens would need to know, like how much do I owe? If I wanted to, if I could make a payment today, how much would I have to pay? And so there's a lot of confusion. What I have seen, the two sponsors of the legislation around this, Representative Grant and Senator Brandis, they have basically said, we're not going to keep pushing state legislation to clarify all this until we get an opinion from the U.S. Supreme Court, which and again, kind of keeps a lot of folks in limbo until that happens. Unfortunately, the legislature right now is considering bills to make it even harder for citizens' initiatives like the rights restoration effort to make it to the ballot. And they've been doing this for upwards of 15 years. Every step of the way, every time citizens step up and say, here's a policy that we want to see changed, or here's something that we want to see funded. Every time citizens step up and go through the great effort to get something on the ballot and they win, 60% of the vote, nearly every time that happens, the legislature decides to make it harder for citizens to do exactly that. So here we have a huge victory for Amendment 4 in 2018. Now in 2020, the legislature is trying to make it more expensive for campaigns like the Amendment 4 campaign to make to the ballot. There's actually the history of the legislature making it harder for citizens to get to the ballot goes way back. There was a point in time, for example, when citizens had 8 years to collect all the signatures they needed in order to put an issue before the ballot. Well, now we're looking at 2 years. So they went from 8 years to 4 years to 2 years. The shorter the time, the harder it is to get it done with volunteer efforts, the more expensive it is because you have to hire people, professional paid signature gatherers to help you get enough signatures to get to the ballot.
And all these things are bills that are currently going through, but as you're saying, it looks pretty hopeful that they'll pass. And I know last year, I believe HB 5 passed and it made a lot of changes. Can you talk about some of the things and why exactly it's harder?
Mm-hmm. So when you go back in time, there was a point when in order to not just get to the ballot, but to win a constitutional amendment for Citizens Initiative, you only needed 50% of the vote. Well, citizens tried to put things like minimum wage on the ballot. Legislature didn't like it, so they upped and changed the threshold to 60%. So now in Florida, to pass an amendment, you need a 60% vote. Okay. They, like I mentioned earlier, they cut the time in which petitions are valid. So 8 years to collect signatures, they cut it down to 4, they cut it down to 2. Now the bills that are being considered this year would actually cut it shorter than 2 years. They have put things like in the bills that we're looking at this year, they're changing, if they pass, they'll change the threshold that triggers Supreme Court review in Florida. So right now, when a citizen's campaign wants to get going on a ballot measure, you have to get 10% of the signatures. That triggers the process for Supreme Court review, and you get a good read on, all right, is this language going to pass the constitutional muster or not? This bill this year that Representative Grant is sponsoring on the House and Senator Hudson on the Senate would change that threshold to 50% so that you only find out if you're constitutional, if your language is good from the Florida Supreme Court, when you're halfway through collecting your signatures, which is a huge amount of money, a huge amount of wasted resources.
And I believe halfway through could also change now, because this morning they were hearing a bill that would change exactly how many districts you had to collect signatures from.
Right. Current law basically requires that you have to get the requisite number of signatures in half of the congressional districts. Florida has 27 congressional districts, so that means you have to meet the 60% threshold in half, 14. The bill that's being considered now says, no, you actually have to get that threshold in every single congressional district in Florida. So it's much, much more difficult.
And it ultimately, it just makes it harder and harder for citizens.
Yeah, one of the resolutions, one of the measures that, so there's two, there are bills that would statutorily make it harder for citizens to reach the ballot, and then they have one resolution that would actually put a question in front of voters, and that's the one that has to do with increasing the requisite
congressional districts.
Congressional districts, exactly.
And then also the CRC,
right,
could also be in front of voters.
Right.
So it could be a lengthy ballot again.
Right.
But thank you so much for speaking with me today. We'll
sure.
have to hold and see if those bills pass, and we may have a lot more to talk about in
yeah,
the future.
I hope we don't. I hope the only thing we have to talk about is these bills failing, but we'll see.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.